Today, Shir's Masechta Chagiga Daf Yotes. We will begin on Daf Yotches Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. Tana Rabbanan says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan Hanoytel Yodov. If somebody washes his hand, the Skaven, if he had intention to make his hands tahor, Yodov Tahiris, then they are tahor. Learn the Skaven, but he did not have such an intention, Yodov Tameis, then his hands remain tamei. We can't have matbal Yodov. If somebody puts his hands into a mikvah, the skaven, if he had kavana to make them tar, yodav tairis, loin the skaven, if he did not have kavana, yodav tameis. So the question that we need to understand, that if we have to have kavana by netila, by washing his hands, why do we have to have the same halakha mentioned both by netila and by tefila? So the Torah Evan answers that since tefila is putting his hands into a full-fledged mikvah, so we would think since you're putting your hands into a full-fledged mikvah, under those circumstances, kavana is not required. Teaches us this braisa that even by tefila, you have to have kavana even though you're putting your hands into the mikvah. Another pshat is that even though we're going to be discussing, it's been the premise of our shiur, going to be the premise of the shiurim to distinguish between different types of use of tumah tahara for truma, for meiser, and we would think that there should be a difference between tefillah and the tila, where and when it's effective for different applications. So that's why we have to learn that the tefillah and the tila have the exact same halacha. Ask the Gemara, but how can we say so? Vatanya, we learned another braisa, bein niskaven, bein niskaven, whether you had kavana or you didn't have kavana, yod of tahiris. Your hands are fine. So how do we reconcile the two braisas? So the Ritva points out that typically asking a question between two braisas is not necessarily the most compelling question, because the halacha is that two braisas can represent two different opinions. But it says the Ritva that if there's a way of reconciling the two braises, that's preferable, and that's exactly what the Mishnah is trying, that's what the Gemara is trying to see. Another question that the Rishonim ask is that our Mishnah already said, Tav l'chulin, huchzuk l'chulin, os l'maisa. So our Mishnah says that you have to have kavana. So why didn't they ask a question? Because obviously you had kavana for what type of tahara you're trying to affect. So why wasn't the question asked from the Mishnah? So they answer, it's actually Tori Evan's question, the Tori Evan answers that our Mishnah may be speaking about somebody who's tumim with the Raisa. The Braisa may be speaking about somebody who's tumim with Rabbanan. And as we're going to learn, the halacha is very different when we're dealing with the Raisa tumah and the Rabbanan tumah, and that's why the Gemara did not ask from the Mishnah. The Braises, he says, seem to be speaking about the same circumstances, and that's why it's a stronger question. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Loikasha, Kan L'chulin, if the Braise that says that you don't have to have kavana is when your intention is to eat chulin. The Kan, the Braise that says that you need to have kavana is L'maisa when somebody is going to eat meiser. And of course, Rashi points out that certainly if you have to have kavana to eat when you're being mitar yourself in order to eat meiser, certainly you have to have kavana to eat when you want to eat truma. Says the Gemara, umnan tanra, that chulin leboy kavana. From where do we know that when one wants to eat chulin, he doesn't have to kavana when he's mitar his hands? The Tanan, the Mishnah Masechet Mikvos, Perek Hey, Mishnah Vav teaches us, Gal Shenitlash, if you have a wave of water that they got detached from the sea, a bar by saw, and there's 40 saw in it, which is the amount you need to have for a mikvah, for Nafal al Adam al Kalim, and then that fell on a person who's Tamei, or on Kalim that are Tamei, by them coming in contact with that wave of water, tahirim, it becomes tar. Ketani, but says the Gemara, Ketani, this Mishnah connects Adam Domi de Kalim, treats people and Kalim the same way. Now says the Gemara, certainly, when we're speaking about Kalim, Ma Kalim Delay Mechavni, certainly Kalim don't have Kavana, they're just vessels. So we see if the Brisa connects the two of them, if the Mishnah connects the two of them, it's a clear indication, Af Adam, that the Halacha is Adam Delay Mechavin, that you didn't have Kavana, and it's still effective. In introducing this Gemara, the Gemara here is speaking about a pool of water. And the Gemara is saying that there's two ways how to have a kosher place to immerse yourself. One could be a mayon is a spring, and one could be a mikveh, a pool of water. The mikveh and the mayon have different halachas. A mayon is matar bezeichlin, even if it's running water, it's matar. A mikveh is only matar when it's gathered together. A zov, that's tamei, can only become tar in a mayon, a spring of mayim chaim, of living water, not in a mikveh. A mikveh needs to have 40 saw, and a mayon doesn't. And actually, this Gemara is used for that discussion, if a mayon has to have 40 saw. The Rosh says that a mayon doesn't have to have 40 saw if we're being metar kalim in it. But Adam, a person, even a small person that doesn't need 40 saw to cover him, can't be tar even in a mayon unless it has 40 saw. The Miri and the Ravid are of the opinion that a mayon, a spring, doesn't have to have 40 saw ever. So the question is that here we're speaking about a mayon. We're speaking about a galsha netlash, and the Mishnah clearly says that it has a boim saw. But we just said the opinion of the Miri and the Ravid is that a mayan doesn't have to have 40 saw. So how do we understand this Mishnah? So the Miri answers that there's a difference in a mikveh's requirement of 40 saw and the 40 saw that are being mentioned in this Mishnah. He says, as we've learned previously, a mikveh has to have 40 saw. And if the mikveh doesn't have 40 saw, the mikveh is not a kosher mikveh. Here, the mayan doesn't have to have 40 saw, but the water has to be able to cover the entire body of the person who is going to be tall here. And with less than 40 saw, on a practical way, it doesn't have 40, he needs 40 saw to cover him. And in other words, says the Taz, that there would be a difference if the person who's being tar from the Skalsh and Hitlash is a cotton or a gadol. A gadol needs 40 saw to cover his body, and that's what the Mishnah is speaking about. But if the person who's becoming tar is a cotton, and a cotton is a smaller body, it would not need 40 saw. Another pshat that the Achronim suggest, it is a difference that even when we say that you don't have to have 40 saw b'mayim, that's only as far as but that's only regarding the fact that it could be running. But you have to have 40 saw in one place. And as the Shach explains this, the Shach says that if somebody is actually going into a spring of water to be matar himself, the halacha doesn't require, according to those we're showing him, 40 saw. But here, as we explain, we're not speaking about a classical example of somebody who's going into a mayon. We're speaking about a gal shenitlash. When we're speaking about a gal shenitlash, then the halacha is that you have to have 40 saw. And as Reb Chaim Brisker explains, when we speak about a mayon, there's two concepts. There's a mayon, and there's something called meha mayon. There's the actual spring, and the meha mayon, which is what emanates from the spring. Says Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, the etzem hamayim, the actual mayon, as I just said, many Rishonim are of the opinion, doesn't have to have 40 saw in order to be matar. But here we're not talking about the actual mayon itself. Here we're speaking about the meha mayon. When we speak about meha mayon, there halacha will require, as the Mishnah seems to indicate, that it have 40 saw. Umimai says the Gemara that how, so we're saying that from here we have a raya, that the person doesn't have to have kavana, because the person is compared to the kalim. Kalim, obviously can't have kavana. So the person obviously doesn't have kavana either. Ask the Gemara, am I, who tells you that that's the proper way to learn? Dilma, b'yosh mitzapa emesh l'shagal. Maybe this Mishnah is referring to a situation that the person's expecting this wave of water to come on top of the kelim, askinon, and therefore we'll say just the opposite. The kelim dum yud adam, we'll compare kelim to a person. Ma adam de bar kavana, just like a person is certainly capable of having kavana, and that's the only situation where he will become tamei, tahor. Av kelim, the only way that the kelim will become tamei is mechavin lehu, we ask kavana. And even says the Aroz Ruach that in the case of the gal shenitlash, that it's not, there is no, the person is not immersing the kalim into the mayon, but still it's the, his intention and his watching that this should happen is considered a kavonim. V'chi teima, says the Gemara, if that's the way you're going to explain the Mishnah, b'yoshim mitzapa, that the person's expecting this gal shenitlash to hit Maila Memra, so then of course it should be Metahar, answered the Gemara Salkadat Chamina, Ligzer, that maybe we should not allow anything to become Tor will Gal Shanitlash, because we'll be concerned that if we're going to allow this to work, maybe when there's a downpour of rain, or a rain coming down the mountain, the incline of the mountain, a person will also think that that he could become Tamei. Tahar that way. Inami nigza barashin, that yes, as the head of the wave hits the person or the kale, he becomes tame. But when it's he touches the keepin, the middle of the wave, that the halacha is that that is not a valid tefillah, as we're going to learn. So we would think that we should not allow the head, because we're going to confuse it with the middle. K'mashman, that's what the Mishnah is telling me to teach us. The leigas rinan, that there is no reason to be making zera, but there's no raya that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that kavana is not required. So we just said that if somebody wanted to be matar, it can become tar with the head of the gal, but it can't become tar not with a chadl shel gishamim. And the reason it can't be tar with tar gadl shel gishamim is that that it's considered a katafris. And Hilchas Mikvahs, the halacha is that all the mikvah has to be a pool of water, a stationary pool of water. When the water is rolling down the mountain, that is not considered a mikvah. That's considered a katafris. And it's also in the same category of mayim zoichlin. As we said earlier, in a river or a spring, even though the water is flowing, it is Matar. When we speak about a mik, when we speak about a mayon, when we speak about a mikvah, it's not supposed to be flowing. And that's why we would think that somebody could confuse the gal with that. So the halacha is that it's not, that's what the Mishnah maybe is coming to teach us, that we don't make that gzeira. Or, as we just said, the Mishnah is coming to teach us that even though it's the head of the wave can be matar, the middle of the wave cannot be matar. Ask the Gemara, umenot temra, and from where do we know that in that halacha, the loy matpilim bekeepim, that you can't become tar with the head, with the middle, only with the head. The Tanya, the Brisa clearly teaches us, matpilim beroshin, one can become tar with the head of the wave, vei matpilim bekeepim, lefishay matpilim be'avir. When it's still in the tap, then it's not considered not a mayon, nor a mikvah. Because the Torah, as we mentioned earlier, says that the two types of bodies of water that have the ability to affect tahara, as the pasuk says, ach mayin or bar mikveh mayin, and anything else is not a type of a pool of water that can be matar, and therefore is not the keepin, which is not the same way as a mayin. It's not the flow of the river. That's why it's not matar. Ella mahadatana. So we're back to where we started. The Gemara at the beginning of the Shir said that for Chulin, we don't have to have Kavana for Tahara, and we want to know where do we know that Halacha from. So there's a Mishnah Masechta Mechshirin. We know the Halacha is that any food in order to be mekabel tumah, it's not mekabel tumah until they first get wet. They first get wet with one of the following seven liquids: yain, wine, dvash. Dvash doesn't mean bee honey; it means date honey. Shemen, oil, chal of milk, tal dew, dam blood, mayim, water. And the way to remember these seven liquids is yad shochat dam. This is what's known throughout Shas as hechsher. That a food, in order to be able to become tamei, has to be mukhshir l'kabel tamei. This halacha is learned because the pasuk, when it speaks about food that becomes tamei from a sheretz, says v'chiyuten mayim al zera v'nafel m'nevlosim olav tamei hu l'mechem. That means that the sheretz does not have the ability to be matama anything only if they came wet with one of the liquids. And the Rishonim point out, even though the Pasuk speaks about water, we learned that all the liquids that we mentioned have the same din. Furthermore, the halacha is that if the mashkin, in order that they should be able to become mukshar, it had to be that you were satisfied with the water, with the liquid coming in contact with the food. But if you were not satisfied, then it doesn't have the ability to be machshir. Because, and the way to understand it, is the pasuk says the word yud, tof, nun. Now that word could be spelled, could be pronounced as yitain. That means you actually put the water on it. Or yutan, the water was put on it. So, since, as we know, there are known the kudais in the pasuk in the Torah, we learn that it has to be yitain dumya le yutan. It has to be that at least that you were satisfied with the water, with the liquid coming in contact with the food. It doesn't mean that you have to necessarily deliberately put the liquid on the food, but you have to be satisfied that it should be that way. So, says the Mishnah, if you have fruit that fell into an irrigation ditch that they used to have around the field, somebody whose hands were tamei and put his hands into that ditch and took out the fruit, yod of tyrus. See, because he put his hands into that ditch, even though he had no intention to be metaris hands, he's still tar. His hands automatically become tar. Or paris enem b'chiyutan. But the fruit has not become mukshal kabel tamei. Because even though they certainly became wet, but as we said a moment ago, it's only mukshal kabel tumah if you wanted it to get wet. He wasn't interested to make them wet. But if somebody put his hands into that ditch because he deliberately had in mind that his hands should get wet, that his hands should get tahar, then the halacha is the yod of tyrus, his hands become tahar. And the Paris are considered mukshal kabotuma, because since he deliberately put his hands into that water, that shows that he's satisfied that the Paris should get wet. And once he's satisfied that his Paris should get wet, that's why the mukshal kabotuma. So of course, the Achronim asked the question, I put my hands into the water. And yes, when I put my hand into the water, I had every intention that my hand should become tar. But what does that have to do with the peiris that are in the ditch, that they become automatically mukhsh l'kabel tumah? So he says that, so the Sfas Emes says the way to understand is as follows. He says, since the person intended that his hand should get wet, and then he also intended to take the fruit out of his ditch. So since everything here is being done with intention, so I realize that when I'm going to take the fruit out of the ditch with my wet hand, the fruit is going to have to get wet. If I touch something with a wet hand, it's going to get wet. And that's why it's considered intentional, and that's why the fruit is considered mukshar. So we see that for chulin, you don't have to have kavana. If I stuck my hand in to the ditch with absolutely no intention, the halacha is that my hand is tahar anyway. Says the Gemara, Eisvei, Rabbi Rav Nachman, asks Rabbi, that you're saying for chulin. You don't have to have any intention. And still, it will be tar. It says in our Mishnah, toivel chulin, if somebody toivel his hands for chulin, v'huchsel chulin, and that was his intention that his hands should be tar for chulin, os lemaisa. So what do we see from here? Huchsakin, only if you had intention for that tefillah to be effective, is it effective. Loi huchsuk, if you had no intention, loi, then it's not effective. So how could you say that for chulin, no intention of tahara is required? Answers Rav Nachman Hochikomer. This is the way to answer them, to understand the Mishnah. Apisha huchsuk l'chulin, but even though somebody is tar as far as hilchas chulin is concerned, it will not be effective. It will be not effective for Meiser. But the Mishnah is saying that for the Mishnah is still holding that for chulin itself, you don't have to have any intention. The Mishnah is just teaching us that anything that's effective for chulin doesn't automatically create that it should be tar for Meiser. Eisrei, so ask the Gemara another question. It said in our Mishnah, Tavol v'loy huchsak, if somebody went to the mikveh, but he didn't have any intention of tahara, the halacha is kiloy tavol. The halacha doesn't consider it as if he did not do an act of tefillah. My love, doesn't that mean to say kiloy tavol klal? That again, it's your act is totally meaningless. So isn't this clearly an indication that even for chulin you have to have kavana? Says the Gemara, loy. Again, we're going to explain. It's considered as if you didn't do an effective tefillah for Meiser. Avatova, what you did do, is effective for Chulin. Says, ask Taisus, what is the Mishnah teaching us new with these words that hasn't been already taught at the beginning, that Huchsuk l'Chulin l'Huchsuk l'Meiser? If the point is to tell us that what's effective for Chulin is inadequate for Meiser, haven't we learned that halacha already? So the Rabbi Chanan answers, Taisus quotes, that the chiddush is that for chulin we don't have to have kavana. Because if we only had the rate to teach us that for chulin is not effective for meiser, the two dinim that we're learning. One is that what's good for chulin is not good for meiser, and the second din is, but it's good for chulin as well. Another pshat that Taisus quotes, that if I only had the one din, I would think that if the person intentionally had a mind chulin and did not have a mind meiser, that's when it's not effective for meiser. But when the person had a mind nothing, he just went into the mikveh. There I would think that since there was no deliberate intention for one application, it should be effective for all applications. Teaches us the Mishnah, no, that even if you didn't have any intention, it will be only effective for chulin and not for meiser at all. Says the Gemara, who sover doch kamatchalei. So the Gemara says, assumes that we ask these questions of Rav Nachman, who taught us that for chulin you don't have to have any intention, and the Mishnah seems to say differently, and all these answers that Rav Nachman offered were just here to defend himself, but really aren't pashup shat in the Mishnah. Nofek doch v'ashkach. But then he found the brisa that clearly teaches us, tovav loy huchsuk, if somebody went to be tovel and without any intention, os lemaisa, it's not effective for meiser, but the halacha is that it's mutal chulin, that it is effective for chulin. For chulin, no kavon is required. And this has very relevant application for, as we know, the halacha is that when we receive kalim, when we purchase kalim, that a metal or glass, we have to take them to the mikveh. And the question is that could we use a non-Jew to do that tefillah? Is the only person that could do tefillah a Jew, or even an Akum could do the tefillah? In the Shulchan Aruch, clearly in Yerideya, Simon Kuf Chof, Sift Hezvav teaches us, Emhitba Kalim Ayidei Akum, if somebody was Tovel Kalim through an Akum, also loy tefillah. The halacha is that the tefillah is effective. And moreover, the Bach says a very big chiddush. He says that let's say somebody bought kalim that were pre-toiveled. They were already toiveled before I own it. Still, the tefillah is going to be effective because tefillah doesn't have to have any kavana. What our Gemara is teaching us is that for chulin, the object that needs to be toiveled, where it's a person or a keli, has to be put into the mikveh. But that's all that's required. And the question is, what's going to be with a nida? It seems the same thing, that for a nida, it would also be effective. But the Taz says that for a nida, it should be only done with kavana. That a nida goes to the mikveh, she should have kavana to tivel them in the mikveh. And in fact, this could come up where if somebody has a keli and it's yontif, and the halacha is that on yontif, you're not allowed to take a keli to the mikveh. But the person has no other way of getting this keli. He needs this keli, and he has no other way of using it. The halacha is that we could have an akum do the tefillah on your behalf on yontif. The issue here is regarding the bracha. We know that we are doing tefillahs kelim, we have to make a bracha. The question is, if a keli that's being nitfal, that's being put into the mikveh by an akum, could the Jew who's not actually doing the tefillah still make the bracha? Amar Rav Elazar, Tava va'ala, if somebody went into the mikveh, when he went to the mikveh, he didn't have any specific intention, machzik atzmai, he could still have intention when he comes out of the mikveh, l'chama shiyotza, that for whatever he wants, that tefillah should be effective. The Mishnah is speaking, the Rav Elazar is speaking about a situation that the person went to the mikveh, l'shem tahara, but he didn't have any specific intention. And we're learning here that when you come out, you could still be machzik yourself. Meisvei, so ask the Gemara, the Brisa says, Adehu, Raglo Achz B'mayim, still he has one foot in the mikveh, Huchsel Adavakal, if he had kavana for even something not so significant, Chulin Meiser, Machzik Atzmel Adavachomer, he could still change his mind and say that this Tahara should be for a more serious Tahara, Truma Kachim. Allah, but once you come out of the mikveh, Shuv Ein Machzik, it's too late. My love, and a machzik klal. Isn't that mean that once you've come out of the mikveh, it's too late? Says the Gemara Loi. That's not the way to understand the Braisa. The Braisa is speaking about Oideu, if he still has one foot in the mikveh, Abisha Huchzik, even though when he was actually in the mikveh, he only had a mind for chulin and for meiser, he could still change his mind as long as he has one leg in the mikveh that this tahar tefillah should be for something more serious. Allah, if he leaves the mikveh, imlay huchzik, if he didn't have any kavana while he was in the mikveh, machzik, he could not have kavana for anything from huchzik. But if he when he was in the mikveh, he had a mind for one intention, for one purpose, and now he's completely left the mikveh. So now, eina machzik, it's too late to have intention for something else. So it turns out that you would have been better off not having any intention when you're in the mikveh than if you had intention for something else. Says the Gemara, Mantana, who's the Tana of the following Braisa? The Rudei Ragla Achz B'mayim, that if he still has one leg in the mikveh, it's considered as if he's still in the mikveh. Says the Gemara, Amar Rapidos, Rabbi Yehuda Hi. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanam, the Mishnah Masechta Mikvahs, Perek Zayin Mishnah Vav teaches us. Mikveh Shenidat, you measure the mikveh, Yesh by Abayim Saw, Mukhavanis, and has exactly Abayim Saw. And as we mentioned earlier in our shir, a mikveh, in order to be a kosher mikveh, has to have a bar saw. So this mikveh has exactly a bar saw. V'yodu shnayim, and two people went into this mikveh, v'tovu zachazeh, and one immersed himself, and then the second one. Daloch is harishin tar, the person who immersed himself first is tar, because when he went into the mikveh had the proper shear. Vasheni tamei. The second one is tamei, because as the person left the mikveh, he obviously took some water from the mikveh with him. And as we just explained, we're talking about a mikveh that has exactly a bar saw. If he took some water along, the mikveh doesn't have the proper shear. However, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, im ha'yiraglav shel rishon noiges b'mayim, if the first person's feet are still in the mikveh, afasheni tamei, then even the second person, so he's mostly out of the mikveh. And he has some of that water on his body that he's taken out of the mikveh with him. The second one is tar, because we say the concept of good achas. And good achas says that the water that's on your body is going down. And since the water that's on your body is going down, so we take that water and treat it as if it's still in the mikveh. And therefore, the mikveh has the proper shear. If the mikveh has a proper shear, the halacha is that the second one is tar as well. Omer Rav Nachum, Omer Rav Avuha, this concept that Rabbi Yehuda introduced now of good achas, and Rabbi Yehuda deduced, but the Tanakhama clearly does not agree to, is Vemalas Rabbanan. It's only when somebody is going to the mikveh because he has to go to the mikveh midrabbanan. For example, the halacha is that an oinen has to go to the mikveh in order to be able to eat kotshim. Or somebody who's a mechusel kippurim. We know that if somebody's tomei and his tahara involves going to the mikveh and then having harav shemesh and then bringing a carbon. Till he brings the carbon, the halacha is that he's considered a mechusel kippurim. But once he brings the kabbonis, he's allowed to eat kotshim. But Rashi tells us that the Rabbanan instituted that he's not allowed to eat kotshim until he goes to the mikveh. But that obligation to go to the mikveh is only malus to Rabbanan. So that's where Rabbi Yehuda holds that we could apply the concept of good achas. Avol metumel tahara, if somebody's full-fledged tamei and he wants to become tar, there divrei hakol hasheni tamei, that you can't, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that you won't apply the concept of the good achas. And says the Gemara, and that's exactly that by Chumra Rabbanon, do we have this machlokes? That's what Rabbi Das said. The Rabbi Das said if one foot is in the mikveh, we say good achas. That's by the Rabbanon. And that's when he's and that we when one foot is still in the mikveh, you could still have a different intention. That's following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that says good achas. And he's going to be saying it according to this Gemara only by Malus to Rabbanon, where somebody has to immerse himself in the Rabbanon. But then, says the Gemara, Ikad Amri, there's a different version of this discussion. The machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon, if we could apply the concept of good achas, is only when we're talking about a tumma daraisa. Ava b'malus to Rabbanon, but when we're speaking about a tumma that we're only going to the mikveh because it's a chiv de rabbanon, but divrei hakol, everybody will agree afashen tar or pligid de rabdos. If that's the case, so everybody applies the concept of good asik. And if everybody applies it, so we don't have to say that what Rabbi Das said is going according to Rabbi Yehuda. It could be following everybody's opinion that will apply the concept of, everybody will apply the concept of good achas. Says the Gemara, or Amma Ula. By my name, Rabbi Yochanan. So they asked the following question. Lir Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda clearly, as we just learned, applies the concept of good achas. What's going to be the halacha ma'al ha'abdol machtem v'tzinoiris? We have very small kalim, needles, pins, and we're concerned that we're going to put it into a mikveh. They'll get lost in the mikveh. So could we say that we'll have a person, we'll go into the mikveh, he'll get completely wet, his head, his hair will become wet as well, and then put the keli on top of the person's head. And like that, we'll say not only good asik, that the water goes down, but we'll also say good achas, that the water in the mikveh is connected to the top of his head, and he'll be tar that way. And the question is, good achas, isla Rabbi Yehuda, does Rabbi Yehuda say that there's a concept of good achas, that the water goes down, but good asik, that the water going up, lesle, he doesn't follow such a concept. Oidumma, God asik nami islay. And I saw that the Chazon Ish points out that even though in Hilchus Shabbos and Hilchus Erevin, when we spoke about mechitzas, what is considered a wall for the various halachas in Hilchus Shabbos and Hilchus Erevin, there we applied the concept of good asik and good achas equally. Because says the Chazon Ish, when it's a question of creating a mechitza, in a situation where there's a question of creating a mechitza, everybody will agree that good asik, there's no reason to differentiate between good asik, between something going down and something going up, a mechitza going down or a mechitza going up. But here, we're talking about water. So water going down is gravity. Water will always roll down. But there is no law of physics that will schlep the water up. And that's why the Gemara is asking, maybe Rabbi Yehuda only applies the concept of good achas, but he doesn't apply the concept of good asik. Lay and Rabbi Yochanan responded to Nisua. This has been taught in a Braisa. The Braisa speaks about Sholosh Gomemos. You have three water ditches, Benacho, that are going down a mountain. You have Elyona, the upper one, the Techtoina, the bottom one, Vem Tsos, and the middle one. Elyona v'Techtoina, in the upper ditch and in the lower ditch, Shal Esrim Esrim Saw. Each one only has 20 saw in each. Vem Tsos, in the middle ditch, has a boim saw. V'Chadlis Shal Gishamim Iveris Beineim. And there's water connecting them. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda used to say, Matbel Elyona, that even though the upper ditch doesn't have 40 saw in it, but since it's connected to the middle ditch, and the middle ditch, as we just said, does have 40 saw, we apply good achis, good asik, and schlep that water up. Certainly, if we're going to say good achis, we're going to say good asik. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda applies the concept of good asik, not only good achis. Ask the Gemara for Tanya. How we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a matba ba yoina. Ramei says that you could go to the upper mikveh. But I say, he said, Vani Omer, but I actually say, Betachtoina, V'loi Bel Yoina. Only the bottom one is usable because of good achis, but the upper ditch, where we have to apply this concept of good asik, I don't agree to that concept of good asik. So isn't this clearly an indication that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of good asik? Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan responds, Itanya Tanya. If that's what it says in the Braisa, I stand corrected, and there is no question that he holds good asik. Hatayvel Chulin, we learned in the Mishnah, somebody went to mikveh with the intention to be tor for chulin, for huchsuk lechulin, also lemaiser. And then we said, if you went for maiser, it's not effective for truma. So we learn here that tefillah for maiser, for chulin, is not effective for maiser. Says the Gemara, man tana, mani masnisen, who's the tana that holds that this halacha that having a mind for a lower level tahara is not going to be effective for a higher level? Rabbanan he. Says the Gemara, our mission is follows the opinion of Rabbanan, that the Rabbanan differentiate ben chulin lamaisa. Because they hold that if somebody's tummy mid Rabbanan, who's a sheni latumah, he's mutter in chulin, and he's also b'maisa. And Rameya held that he's a sheni latumah, is allowed to have chulin and maisa. So just like the Rabbanan over there differentiate between Chulin and Maisa, here too they're going to say that Tefillah for Chulin is not going to be effective for Maisa. Ask the Gemara, but let's continue learning the Mishnah. Eima Seifa. We learned in the next part of the Mishnah, Big Day Amei Aretz, Midrash Leprushin. The garments that are worn by Amei Aretz are considered Tamei for people who eat Chulin Betarim. Or Big Day Prushin, and somebody who in the Begadim of people who are careful to eat chulin b'tahara is still considered midrash loichle truma. And we have to be concerned that they're tamei. But if our Mishnah is following the opinion of the Chachamim that say that chulin and maisa are also not on the same status, the Mishnah should have taught us a different halacha. The Mishnah should have said that big day prushim, that if somebody, even though somebody is makbid, he's careful to eat chulin b'tahara, it will not be good enough for Meiser. And then the Mishnah would have continued saying, and the begadim of somebody who's not careful for Meiser is not good enough for Truma. The fact that the Mishnah didn't speak about such a situation is clearly indication, also Rameya, that the Mishnah at this point is following Rameya, that Mechulun and Meiser badadinenu, then Chulun and Meiser treated equally. And therefore, even though as soon as the begadim are good enough for Chulun, they're going to be good enough for mice as well. They will not be good enough for truma. That's the opinion of Rameya that follows the opinion that Meiser and Chulin are equal. But ask the Gemara, if that's the case, we now have an issue that the Reish is following the opinion of the Rabbanon and the Seif is following the opinion of Rameya. In which is usually not the case, says the Gemara, in. We have no other way of explaining the Mishnah. We're going to have to say that the Reish is Rabbanon, Seif, Rameya. Rav Acha ba Adam Masna b'Seifa, but when he learned the Sefer, he clearly indicated that there are five different degrees. There's Chulin B'Tahara, there's Meiser, there's Truma, there's Kodesh, and the Mechatis. He had the Girsan Mishnah, the Bigdei Prushim, Migdei Midrash Loichle Meiser, or Bigdei Loichle Meiser, Midrash Loichle Truma. So he did add these categories into the Mishnah. If he added these categories into the Mishnah, then not only is the Reisha clearly following the opinion of Rabbanon that say that Chulin and Meiser should not be treated equally, but even the Sefer is following the Rabbanon, are following that opinion as well.